Welcome to Healthline 3. I'm Jade Bilexa. Thank you for joining us. Bariatric surgery could be the answer for you if you are overweight and have serious health problems. We're taking an in-depth look now with Dr. James Barnes of Highland Clinic. And call us with your questions at 318-219-4569. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Barnes.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So let's start from the beginning. What is bariatric surgery?
Yeah, so bariatric surgery is weight loss surgery. These are operations that we do to help people that are morbidly obese lose weight. So morbid obesity is basically people that are 100 pounds or more over their ideal body weight. We mentioned a few minutes ago, we've learned that at that weight, people just don't do very well with diet and exercise in terms of losing a substantial amount of weight and keeping that weight off. But what does work well for that is surgery. And so we see a really nice weight loss, 60 to 75% of your excess weight people are going to lose with this. And for most people, it's going to be a long-term weight loss too, which is, equally important.
Okay. And who is a candidate for this type of surgery?
Yeah, so we base it off of your BMI or your body mass index, which is just a ratio looking at your height and weight together. Again, the simple numbers, if you're, at least 90 to 100 pounds overweight, you're probably going to qualify. So that's kind of where we start. And then we look at, sometimes we can go even a little lower than that if you have health issues related to your weight. We see a lot of health problems, diabetes, high blood pressure, sleep apnea, reflux disease, joint problems. That we see that very commonly. I get a lot of patients sent to me from the orthopedic surgeons who see people with, knee pain, for example, from being overweight. And so it just really affects so much in your body, and it's so unhealthy being overweight. And when we can reverse that, get the weight off, and then seeing how much healthier people get after surgery, that's always fun to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that's really rewarding for you as a doctor.
Yeah, it really is.
Mm-hmm. So how do you decide between, say, gastric bypass and a sleeve operation?
Yeah, so those are kind of the two different operations that we do now for weight loss. And weight loss surgery has evolved over the years. There's been several operations that have come and gone. The bypass has kind of been around this whole time. I mean, it's been around for over 50 years, sort of the tried and true weight loss operation, still the most common operation that I do for weight loss. And with the bypass, we create a small stomach pouch so people fill up very quickly, and then we bypass the first part of the intestine so they don't absorb the food quite as well. So that's one operation that we do. And then the sleeve gastrectomy, which is a newer surgery, been around about 10 or 12 years or so, where we sort of staple off and remove the outer portion of the stomach, and we just leave a little narrow tube of stomach about the size and shape of a small banana. So it restricts, again, how much people can eat at one time. There are pros and cons to both options. We do see a little better results with the gastric bypass, but it is also a slightly bigger operation than the sleeve is. And so that's something we work with individually with each patient. I really focus on, trying to find what's going to be the best fit for each patient. And ultimately, I allow the patients to decide which operation. But we try to kind of guide them in terms of what we think they'll be the happiest with and have the best results with.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of results do you often see with bariatric surgery?
Yeah, so with the sleeve, we see about a 60% excess weight loss on average. So somebody that's 100 pounds overweight would lose about 60 pounds on average with the sleeve. With the bypass, we see about a 75% excess weight loss. So we do usually see a little more weight loss with the bypass than with the sleeve. And the other thing that I think is important as just the number on the scale, it's people's health getting so much better. And that, from part of it is just feeling better, not being so tired, having the stamina to do more stuff, able to walk up a flight of stairs without, having to catch your breath, things like that. But then it's also the more serious medical problems that we mentioned, diabetes and high blood pressure and things like that. We see, for example, with diabetes, with the gastric bypass, we see an 80 to 90% cure rate of diabetes with the surgery. And it's very quick too. Usually within about 2 days, their diabetes is gone after surgery. And so it, for most people, it gets them off their medicines right away, normal blood sugars. And the big thing with that is sort of the long-term complications that go along with being diabetic. And when we've got an operation that can cure that diabetes and head off those problems before they come up, that's, you know, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty amazing, because, you know, obviously diabetes is dangerous, and so many people struggle with that.
Yeah.
So definitely bariatric surgery is something to consider. So let's talk a little bit more about how the surgery could affect other medical conditions.
Yeah, so, you know, kind of the big five we always talk about. Diabetes, as we mentioned, high blood pressure, very common. We see about an 80-85% cure rate of high blood pressure after surgery with both operations, meaning off your medications completely. Sleep apnea is another big one. A lot of people that are overweight have sleep apnea. They have to use a CPAP machine at night when they sleep. Most people get off of their CPAP machines after surgery, after they lose a little bit of weight, which is really nice. Reflux disease is very common, and that's usually cured with surgery. And then we mentioned the joint problems, the knee pain, the back pain. And we see that really commonly, especially as people get into their 40s and 50s. That's when that really starts creeping up. And a lot of these people, you know, they need joint replacements. Their knees are just sort of so worn out that they have to get a knee replacement. But the orthopedic surgeons won't do their surgery when they're morbidly obese because the complication rate is so high. Mm. And so a lot of times we will take people that have sort of just worn out their knees from being overweight, do their surgery, get some weight off of them, and then they can go to their orthopedic doctor, and then they can have their knees replacements done, and they generally do very well with that.
Yeah, good deal. And so tell me, is the surgery safe overall, the bariatric surgery?
Yeah, it really is. Now, it is surgery, so there are complications that can occur, and that's one of the things that we always talk about with new patients. We do a seminar every Tuesday morning for new patients, and we sit down and spend about 30 minutes in a group, and it's a small group, usually 4, 5, 6 people at a time, and we go over all the information about the surgery. But one of the things we talk about at that seminar is the complications that can occur, because I want people to be very informed going into this, and there are complications that can occur, but they're very rare, and most people go through without any of these problems. And I always tell people, you got to look at both sides of it. You know, these are the risk of surgery, but then you've got to look at the risk of not having surgery, the risk of morbid obesity, and all of the health issues that go along with that, the diabetes, and, you know, all the health issues we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. Because for most people, I think those risks are much greater than the risk of having an operation. And yeah. So that's what we kind of weigh out when we're making the decision of whether or not to operate, and then which operation to do.
Mm-hmm. And once someone decides they want to have the bariatric surgery, what should they do next? I mean, what's the procedure, and they decide on you're going to do the surgery? How should they go about that?
Yeah. So and we kind of walk people through that a step at a time, because it's kind of complicated sometimes, the things you have to do, and insurance tends to make it even more complicated. That's
I'm
just
sure
how they are.
So we kind of
pave the way with all that stuff as people go. So, you know, basically, you know, step one is to call the office. Mm-hmm. and you can just give us your insurance information. We will check. That's kind of the first thing we do. We see if you have coverage for weight loss surgery. And so we will check on that. Or patients can call themselves and check with their insurance whether or not they have coverage for it. And then once we decide they do, we'll get them a seminar appointment like we talked about, go through the information in a small group. And then I meet with each one of them individually, and we sort of lay out a plan moving forward. And, you know, decide if they're going to do the surgery, which operation we all both feel like is going to be the best fit. And then we sort of lay out the steps that you have to do. You know, there's sometimes there's a certain number of visits we have to do. We have to get clearance with a psychiatric evaluation that the insurance companies require, a nutrition evaluation frequently. I usually do a scope on people before surgery. We usually have them lose a little bit of weight before surgery. So again, there's a lot of steps here, but we just kind of walk them through it one thing at a time and start that progression. Sometimes it can go very quickly, sometimes a few weeks and we're ready to go. Sometimes it's several months. It just depends on what all we have to do, and on sometimes depends on what the insurance requirements are too.
Mm-hmm. And what do you eat after surgery? I mean, is there certain foods you should stay away from, or what is recovery like after?
Yeah,
you have
so that's
surgery?
A great question. And again, that's also something we kind of take people through a step at a time after their surgery too. Mm-hmm. We have a very extensive aftercare program, which I believe is equally as important as the surgery itself. Mm-hmm. You know, if you just operate on somebody and then kick them to the curb, they're not going to do as well. And so we see them back fairly frequently, especially in that first year, gradually advance their diet, you know, just kind of make sure that they're not trying to fall off the curve a little bit, you know. And so the diet, initially we do liquids. It's about 6 weeks of liquids initially as things heal up and the swelling goes down and all that from the surgery. And then we start some soft, solid food back and then gradually just kind of add foods back into the diet. But again, we walk through people through that as they go. Each time they come in, they get a new list of stuff they can add. And you know, the people that follow the diet, as most do, you know, generally do, you know, very well with it afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
The nice thing about the surgery too is it really takes away your appetite. Your hunger level goes way down, and so that's part of where the weight loss comes from too, is when the effects that the surgery have, sending those hunger signals to your brain. And so after surgery, people's appetite goes way down, and that just makes it a lot easier to lose weight too.
Yeah. And we want you guys to call us if you have any questions, 318-219-4569, to talk directly with Dr. Barnes. And what would you say is the hospital stay and just the overall recovery time?
Yeah, so it's an overnight stay in the hospital, just one night. Sometimes with the sleaze, we even do it as outpatient, where you go home, you know, later the same day. But it's typically a one-night stay most of the time. By doing these robotically, we have really been able to speed up the recovery process. And so we've gone from two nights to one night now since we started doing these robotically a few years ago. Complete recovery is a month or so, but the bulk of that's the first 10 to 14 days. And usually that's when people go back to work. Most people take about a week and a half, 2 weeks off, and then are back at work. And we see that very commonly. So it's not too bad of a recovery period. So, you know, considering the magnitude of the surgery, by doing it robotically, people really bounce back very quickly.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about, let's change it up some and talk about the popularity of these weight loss drugs, Ozempic, Wegovy. What do you think of those?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's definitely something that we hear a lot more about now in the last year. We're talking about the weekly injections, the shots that mm-hmm. people do for weight loss. And I think most people have kind of heard a little bit about that now. And there's three that are out there now, Ozempic, Wegovy, and Mounjaro mm-hmm. Are the three that you kind of hear about. And you know, there's sort of pros and cons with those. They, for a weight loss medication, they are very good, and they're probably the best weight loss medication that we now have available. I think they work better than any oral medications like Atipex or Phentermine, for example. And so they're very successful with that. Now, it's not to the degree that we see with surgery. You know, the weight loss is not surgical weight loss. It's not going to be that much, but it is certainly, you know, from medication, it's good. The problem with any weight loss medication is that it works when you take it, but as soon as you get off of it, the weight tends to come right back. And I think that's one of the big differences between surgery and medical weight loss. You know, with surgical weight loss, for most people, this is a long-term fix. This is a lifelong weight loss. They're going to keep this off long term. Whereas with the medications, you know, you kind of have to commit to doing shots once a week for the rest of your life, because for most people, when they stop them, the weight's going to come back on. The other problem we're seeing with those right now is there is just no availability. I've saw three patients today that are, we talked about that with. It's just in high demand, and so it's just, we can't get it anywhere right now. It's not even available. Insurance will sometimes cover those, but more often they do not. And so that's the other problem, because they are super expensive without insurance. They're between $1,200 and $1,500 a month if you're just paying cash for these products. And so some of the insurances will cover, but most do not, and that's another problem as well.
Mm-hmm. So they're still in short supply right now.
They really are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, again, it's a good tool. I actually use them occasionally, and people, sometimes we'll see somebody that I haven't seen in a while that comes back and has gained some weight back that we want to kind of get jump started, and sometimes I'll use it for that, for example. So it's a good tool, but, I don't think it's ever, going to replace surgery, because we don't see the amount of weight loss that we see with surgery. And then again, it tends to be more of a short-term weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
We see some side effects with it too. Nausea is very common with these. Over half of the people that are on the injections are having trouble with nausea. And so people have to deal with that a good bit. I think that's kind of part of how they work. You know, when you're nauseated, you're not going to eat as much because you're not hungry. So.
Yeah, okay. And we have our first caller, Fitzgerald. Good afternoon to you. What is your question for Dr. Barnes?
Yeah, good afternoon. I'd like to know what percentage of the American population who is obese becomes diabetic?
Ooh, that's a good question that I'm not sure I know the answer to. It's a pretty high percentage, because obesity and diabetes are very, kind of hand in hand for type 2 diabetes. I would say, I'm going to rephrase your question slightly. So of the people the new patients that I see, the ones that come in that are morbidly obese, that come in to look into weight loss surgery, I would say maybe 30% of them are diabetic, something like that. So it's not the majority, but it's a pretty good number. I mean, we see it very commonly, either diabetic or sometimes pre-diabetic or borderline diabetes, we call it. A lot of times that's age related too, I think. You know, people that are in their 20s and 30s, they're usually pretty healthy even though they're overweight. You know, most people at that age are still kind of able to get away with being overweight, and so they're usually not on a bunch of medicines. People that I see in their 40s, 50s, 60s, that's when they come in, they're usually on a lot more medications for some of these issues we've talked about. The diabetes rate is definitely going to go up the older the people get too. So I would say in the younger population, maybe 10, 15% that I see have diabetes, but in the people in their 50s and 60s, it's probably 40 or 50%.
Do you refer these people to get tested blood-wise before you do your operations?
We do blood work on everybody before surgery, and so and we check blood sugar levels, or we check a hemoglobin A1C frequently. A lot of times, folks are sent to me because of their diabetes, and so they get sent from their primary care doctor or their endocrinologist, and they come to us to treat their diabetes with the surgery. So sometimes they come with that information already, but we do check that, and then we also check it. Like when we operate on somebody with diabetes, we check their sugars every 6 hours in the hospital, and then have them check them when they go home. But honestly, once they've had their surgery, usually the diabetes is gone within a day or two, and we don't really have any issues with it after that.
That sounds wonderful. Well, I you've answered my questions, and thank you very much. Have a lovely day.
Great. Thanks for your call.
I can, I, just can't imagine how someone must feel when their diabetes goes away.
Yeah, it really, that's a life-changing thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I always said diabetes in the short term is just kind of a nuisance. You have to take your medicine, you have to check your sugars. But long term, when you get into things like, you know, like losing your eyesight, amputations, kidney failure, dialysis, kidney transplants, things like that, you know, that's where diabetes can really be catastrophic. And when you have an operation that can prevent all that stuff from happening down the road, that's pretty huge.
Mm-hmm. And we have Rusty on the line right now. Rusty, what's your question?
Yeah, I'm going to have it done several years ago at UT Southwest in Dallas, but I'm a diabetic and I was going to have a hernia, and they said Medicare paid for it once in your lifetime.
They should cover, if you have Medicare, which does cover bariatric surgery, they usually will cover whatever needs to be done. And so Medicare doesn't typically have like a lifetime limit or anything like that. Plus, if we're talking about surgery for a hernia, that's kind of a whole separate thing anyway. And so, you know, we don't generally run into any problems with Medicare covering either bariatric surgery or hernia repairs. Usually they're pretty good about that.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So someone dealing with these problems should see a doctor, and if they're on Medicare,
yeah,
they should cover things like that.
It does, yeah, and that kind of brings up a good point too, is that most of these operations that we're doing, they are covered by insurance, and the majority of insurance companies cover bariatric surgery. And I think it's, you know, probably because they realize, you know, how it affects people's health, having the surgery and the improvements. And it probably in the long term saves them money. It does save them money in the long term when they're not paying for all these medications anymore as people get off all that stuff when they lose their weight. Risk of heart disease goes down, risk of cancer goes down, you know, all these things that can cost the insurance company a lot of money down the road. And so most of the insurance companies do cover it. And Medicare covers it too. And we take all of that. And so I would say probably over 95% of the people we do it through their insurance. And so, you know, there's kind of a misconception that this is like a cash pay kind of a deal like plastic surgery is. And it's just not. Most of the time, you know, this is a medical condition. This is the treatment for the medical condition of morbid obesity. And the insurance companies recognize that. And so usually this is something that will be covered by insurance.
Mm-hmm. And can you give us just some tips in preventing diabetes, say, or just staying healthy to maybe just lose weight overall?
Yeah, so and it all kind of goes back to weight. You know, you talk about treating diabetes. Well, you treat diabetes by treating the weight, and for type 2 diabetes for the most part. And you know, I always tell people the three areas that we really have to focus on to lose weight and maintain that weight loss. You know, these are the three things that tend to trip people up the most. First is liquid calories. So you should really try not to drink anything with sugar in it, or alcohol. Alcohol has a lot of calories as well. So, you know, the diet drinks, diet sodas, Crystal Light, you know, water, of course, tea with sweetener, that sort of thing. So avoiding the sugary drinks is number one. Avoiding fast food is number two. Fast food has just got so many calories in it. I always tell people, go, you know, Google the calories in whatever your favorite fast food meal is, and you're going to be shocked at how many calories there are in that. It's just sometimes a fast food meal has like 1,200 calories in it. It's just outrageous. So liquid calories, the sugary drinks, the fast food, and snacking is the other place that gets people into trouble. And that's you know, whether it's the crunchy, salty type snacks, the nuts and chips and crackers, or the sweets. And so that's the other thing that gets people into trouble. And we talk about, you know, what other options you can snack on that maybe not be such high calorie foods. So, you know, if you can avoid those three things, you're going to do pretty well. Now, that's sometimes easier said than done. I get that. And that's where the surgery comes in. It makes it a lot easier to follow those three rules too.
Mm-hmm. So we were talking about the injections. Is there a certain weight where the injection should be used, the weight loss injections?
Yeah,
versus the surgery?
The different ones have different criteria. You know, some of them, like Ozempic, it's only approved if you have diabetes. Now, sometimes that gets written even when they don't have diabetes,
yeah.
But which is still considered an off-label use, but Ozempic is only for diabetics, but Wegovy is approved just for weight loss.
Oh, okay.
And so we can use that for that. Now, there is a BMI criteria for that too. And so if you have other medical issues related to your weight, a BMI of 27 or greater, or if you are healthy otherwise, a BMI of 30 or greater. So you have to be above those BMI levels in order to technically qualify to receive the injections.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not for somebody that's 10, 20 pounds overweight.
Yeah, okay. But the weight loss surgery is going to keep the weight off.
Yeah, now it's not 100% because nothing is, but, you know, depending on the study you look at and depending on the operation too, we do see a little better long-term results with the bypass than we do with the sleeve. There's a little more of a tendency to gain weight back with the sleeve, but even with that, well over half the people are going to keep that weight off long-term, and it's even higher with the gastric bypass. So definitely a big majority of people, this is going to be a permanent weight loss with surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of its big advantages. You know, it's not like with the medications where, you know, when you stop it, you know, we
it
know that weight's
going
to rebound right back
yeah.
up there again. And that's just what happens with you know, either pills or shots. But we don't typically see that with the surgery.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And it seems like the weight loss surgery, I mean, is life-saving. Because of all those other conditions that having all that excess
yeah,
weight
it really
causes.
Is. It's a lot of it is just, it's about getting healthier. And you know, we talked about earlier, a lot of it's just people just feel better, you know, and it's such a gradual, insidious onset. It, you know, people don't just gain 100 pounds overnight. I mean, it's, you know, pound here, a pound there, and it just sort of creeps up. And it's almost like people don't realize how much it's affecting their health. Because it's just such a gradual, slow onset of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they have their surgery, and all of a sudden, you know, they lose 80 pounds, 100 pounds, 150 pounds, whatever the number is, they realize how bad they felt when they were at that heavier weight, even though they didn't necessarily notice it as much at the time. But then when all of a sudden they get off of most of their medications and they can, you know, again, they can walk without getting winded. They can, even simple stuff, they can bend down and tie their shoes, you know. People that are morbidly obese tend to wear slip-on shoes because they can't bend over and tie their shoelaces. You know, stuff like that that people don't think about. Just crossing your legs sitting in a chair. Most people can't do that when they're morbidly obese. And so just little stuff like that, getting up off the floor. I hear that all the time from moms. They say, I get down on the floor to play with my kids and I can hardly get up off the floor by myself. So stuff that you don't really think about when you're not overweight, that it just really affects so many aspects of your life.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I bet that is just incredible to hear those stories after they're losing that weight.
You never get tired of hearing that stuff.
Yeah.
It's really great.
And so just real quick, how long does it take for people to lose that weight after the surgery?
Typically, it depends a little bit on how heavy they start out, but usually 9 to 12 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
What a transformation. And next time, can you bring some of those photos? Because I'd like to see the transformation of some of those patients.
Absolutely.
I bet it'd just be remarkable to see. But thank you, Dr. Barnes, for coming on, because this has been a really, really great program with you to talk about the different weight loss medications and also the bariatric surgery that you offer, and what a great benefit that is to people who are morbidly obese.
Yeah, it really is. And I just, you know, I love talking about it. I'm very passionate about it, obviously. And because I just see this, how it changes people's lives. And that's just, it's just dramatic. And it's just like I said, I never get tired of hearing stories about, you know, people come in and say, oh my gosh, I did, you know, XYZ today that I could have never done before. Mm-hmm. And you just never get tired of hearing that.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again for coming on. And that'll do it for us on this edition of Healthline 3. And we'll see you next time.